Brothers and sisters, we're thankful to have another week with you in order to study God's Word and praise Him for His goodness and mercy toward a fallen people that He chose to redeem. You know, throughout the Scriptures, we are shown a contrast between the children of God and the children of the devil. Now, last week, we examined the characteristics of the righteous and the wicked. Today, we're going to examine the reasons why we should be able to recognize those who are God's enemies. God's enemies are the wicked, the children of the devil, those whose goal is to destroy all that God has created, those whose purpose is to destroy all that is good. The battle between God and His enemies is a battle between good and evil that began with the rebellion of Satan and the angels who followed him. In the book of Revelations, the 12th chapter, the 7th through the 9th verse says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." In Luke 10 and 18, Jesus says, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." In his rebellion, Satan's goal is to oppose God in any way possible, to obtain power and authority for himself, to destroy God's creation through temptation and deceit, to confuse God's children by twisting the Scripture and promoting false doctrine. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 13th through the 15th verse, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now Satan, he began his work of promoting disobedience in God's children in the garden. Satan told Adam and Eve that God had lied to them about eating of the forbidden fruit. He told them that they wouldn't die, but become wise like God. He convinced them to disobey God. And since that time, the entire carnal race of Adam has been at enmity against God. God commanded Adam and Eve to multiply and replenish the earth. But Satan, now listen to what Satan has done. Listen to what I'm telling you. Satan has attempted to stop that command that God gave from being carried out through the destruction of the family and the promotion of homosexuality and abortion. God's children are to worship Him. Worship Him how? In spirit and in truth is what the Bible says. But Satan has infiltrated our churches and promoted false doctrine through the twisting of the Scriptures. In describing Satan in John 8 and 44, Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan and his fallen angels are spiritual beings that we as humans cannot see. But we can see their influence in those who preach false doctrine and do not rightly divide the word of truth. The Apostle Peter advises God's children in 1 Peter 5 and 8 to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is God's chief adversary. He's the perpetrator of all evil, and his children are those who are not among God's elect, those God chose before the foundation of the world. The children of the devil are described in the Bible as the tares in the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13. They are the goats whom Jesus puts on the left and sends to a place prepared for the devil and his angels. They are the wicked and the unrighteous, the condemned. Among the devil's children are the self-righteous Pharisees. Jesus, he tells them in John chapter 8, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." Our scripture text for today in Romans is Romans now, the 8th chapter, the 6th through the 9th verse. If you have your Bibles, you might look there. If not, you remember that. And go and study this in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 6th through the 9th verse. You know, the Apostle Paul says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." The thing that every child of God needs to strive to know and recognize is who God's enemies are. Many folks will tell you, we don't need to be concerned with who God's enemies are. But I'm going to tell you, I tell you today, that the Bible disputes that kind of thinking. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 14th through the 22nd verse. "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from adultery. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? How much plainer now? How much plainer can you get? We cannot be partakers with Satan's idols of this world and be partakers with the Spirit of God at the same time. It won't work, what I'm telling you. A house divided against itself cannot stand, whether it be the Lord's house or Satan's house. Now remember what verse 14 says. Flee from these adulteries. To be able to flee from such, we must be able to recognize these enemies. Otherwise, you won't know what to flee from. If the child of God joins in with these things, then we are provoking the Lord to jealousy, and we are declaring that we are stronger than he is. Now let's look at some more scripture. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 14th through the 17th verse, it says this: "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now in Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 11th verse, it says, "Ye have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Anyone who has ever read and studied these scriptures knows that God's children must be able to recognize who the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Otherwise, they don't know who or what to flee from. In order to do what Paul is talking about, we need to understand what the word enemy means. An enemy is an adversary. That's what the name Satan means, adversary. An enemy is anyone or anything that is in opposition to you or the way you believe. God's enemies are in opposition to God's existence, his laws, and his commandments. As children of God, God's enemies are our enemies, in opposition to our morals and values, trying to thwart the plans God has for us, even trying to destroy us. In this world now, God's children have many enemies that are hard to identify. So what do we look for? Anything in opposition. Now, listen to this, and the Bible tells us these things. Anything that is in opposition to God's word is an enemy. Anything that harms God's people is an enemy. Anything that destroys God's influence is an enemy. Anything that destroys God's laws is an enemy. The enemy kills God's people in the name of some other god. The enemy enacts laws contrary to God's laws, like legalizing abortion and same-sex marriage. We should be able to see these are enemies of God. They are dangerous people, workers of iniquity, those who promote sin and put us on the broad road to destruction. These enemies of God should never be put in positions of power and influence. So it's up to God's children to do research on those running for office and vote responsibly. Too many of God's enemies have been running our government for too long. You can certainly tell by the greed and corruption that has been exposed lately. You know, it's easy to recognize God's enemies when they are committing acts of terror against Christians or cutting off heads of Christians in the Middle East. Now, Judas was easy to recognize as an enemy of Christ, as he worried about the cost of the oil Mary used in anointing Jesus' feet instead of the act of love she was performing. But God's enemies were easy to recognize in biblical times. Kings that were evil and oppressed God's children and led them into idol worship. Rulers of Rome, the Pharaoh, kings of Babylon, and other pagan nations. But what is even more scary are enemies that are hard to recognize. You know, gradual changes in a culture, such as the culture that was in Germany during the time of Hitler, that gradually changed and the people fell for it. But these cultures, through media and entertainment industry, it introduces people to things of the world that lead to worse things, and sooner or later the entire society is calling evil good. Now our scripture speaks of the carnal mind. It's an enmity against God. It cannot think righteous thoughts. Righteousness comes from the heart that has been changed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Our scripture text says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We must be able to recognize God's enemies in our society and avoid them. Individually, they may not seem so harmful, but an organized group can do a lot to change the morals and values of a society. The feminist movement has unbelievably changed the institution of marriage that God established in the garden. Women have become so powerful in the workplace and business world that men have been emasculated. It's no wonder we have so many effeminate men in our society. And more men have become attracted to men than women. Children are undisciplined and disobedient to parents, and the family unit is becoming a thing of the past. Now that same-sex marriages are legal, people are perverting marriage even more. For example, now in San Francisco, California, in 2014, a man married his dog in a church service officiated by a priest. Women who should nurture and love their children have become murderers of their own children. Children are undisciplined and disobedient to parents, and the family unit is becoming a thing of the past. Animals and the environment have become more important than human beings. For some people now, nature has become a god. How could this world be any more upside down than what I'm telling you here? Now, brothers and sisters, can you see that those who promote these things are the enemies of God? These things that have been going on in our society lately are contrary to the laws of nature and the God who created nature. How could anything be more dishonoring to God than the things I have just mentioned? We need to recognize that those who promote men's or women's rights and laws above God's laws are not only enemies of God, but enemies of God's children. Now, God's children must live in a society, I know that, in a society among unbelievers. But we must not allow them to indoctrinate us with false beliefs. When we are indoctrinated with false beliefs, so many things happen to the children of God that you can't imagine. Unbelievers will use the Bible to discriminate against certain groups in society who are perceived to have an unfair advantage over others. Now, this is not what Jesus taught. Jesus never advocated penalizing people who work hard in order to give to people who are lazy and refuse to work even though they are able to. People who advocate such things are being deceitful, brothers and sisters. They are enemies of God and His children. God's children are to be cheerful givers. They give of themselves and their resources to help those in need. The Bible doesn't advocate that governments take from those who have and give to those who don't have. The enemy of God that is most difficult now to discern is a ravening wolf in sheep's clothing. The most dangerous enemy of God and His children. Wolves in sheep's clothing. They are forever teaching and preaching while promoting their own agenda. They appear to be angels of light. They appear to be righteous, but they are religious hucksters, con artists. They hide behind the cloak of religion. They deceive God's children, promote false doctrine. They bring people into the church by deceiving them, enticing them into church with worldly things, pizza parties, ball games. Carnal minds now need worldly things that appeal to them. The devil is in these things, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. Using religion for worldly gain is not something new, though. It's not something new in our generation. Religion has always been an easy mark for deceivers. God told the prophet Jeremiah, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." God also told the prophet Ezekiel, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." These pastors and shepherds who took advantage of God's people neglected them, brothers and sisters, and mistreated them. And they were God's enemies, because of the way they mistreated God's children. Even in Jesus' day, God had enemies among the religious systems of the Jews. The Pharisees rose to power and influence during the 400-year period between the Old and the New Testaments. During that time, there was no word from God. No scripture was written. No prophet spoke. So the Pharisees became the self-appointed keepers of the law. Not only did they pride themselves in keeping God's law, they added about 600 laws of their own and became the self-righteous law enforcers for the Jewish society. When John the Baptist preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand," the Pharisees came to his baptism, but didn't see their need for repentance. But John recognized them for who they really were, and said to them in the 3rd chapter of Matthew, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." When Jesus began his ministry now, the Pharisees was his primary opposition. They were his primary opposition. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus spoke in the synagogue, and the reaction of the religious people who were there and heard him is described in verses 28 and 29. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." The Pharisees were Jesus' enemies, and they tried to push him off a cliff because they didn't like his doctrine. In Matthew 12, Jesus heals a man whose hand was withered on the Sabbath, and Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. In the same chapter now, Jesus heals a man who is possessed by a devil, and the Pharisees accuse him of casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub, prince of the devils. The common people feared the Pharisees because they were powerful enough to put people out of the synagogue. In John 9, Jesus heals a blind man, and the Pharisees question the man's mother, trying to find out who healed him. The parents replied, "Ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Even the chief rulers of the synagogue feared the Pharisees. John 12 and 42 says that among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. In John 8, Jesus tells the Pharisees who they really are. In verse 44, Jesus says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Once again, the Pharisees accused Jesus of having a devil and taking up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hides himself and goes out of the temple. Even after the Pharisees arranged to have Jesus tried and crucified, and the apostles are establishing the church, there are those ready to take advantage and make a profit from God's people. In Acts chapter 8, there was a man named Simon who practiced sorcery, making money by bewitching people and telling them that he was some great one. Verse 13 says that Simon believed and was baptized, and he stayed with Philip and wondered about the signs and wonders that Philip was able to perform. Now, when Simon saw that by the laying on of the hands of the apostles that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money so he too could have the power to lay on hands and give the Holy Ghost and profit from it. Now, Philip immediately recognized Simon for what he really was and told him to repent of his wickedness. Some of the greatest dangers to a godly ministry come from those who claim to be religious. Our churches are full of God's enemies who do not have the Spirit of Christ. It's easy to make that conclusion just from watching the church become more like the world. Bingo, raffles, yard sales, all kinds of fundraising, carnal activities, trips to concerts, bringing television into the fellowship hall to watch ball games. Now, if Jesus were here today, I'm telling you, he would cleanse these churches like he cleansed the temple of the money changers in Matthew 21. Another enemy in the church is those who preach false doctrines. False doctrines in the church promote man's will instead of God's will. One false doctrine contends that God has to wait on man to make a decision to get saved, and that Jesus can't save all he died for because man refuses his offer of salvation. Now, with false doctrines like these, man has become his own God, and that's just the way Satan wants it. He wants it that way. His goal is to take God's glory, to destroy the order of God's creation. Now, man has been elevated above God in salvation. Religious hucksters on television, they do their best to separate God's children from their money. They are like Simon the sorcerer. Some profess the ability to heal, while others promise salvation and a prayer shawl for a donation. They have all become wealthy at the expense of God's dear children. So have many of the pastors of churches in this country. They demand high salaries, live in expensive homes, and drive luxury cars. When hard times come and the church is no longer able to pay them their exorbitant salaries, they move on to greener pastures. You can look all the way through the Old and New Testaments, and you'll find that if any of God's pastors and shepherds or religious leaders were wealthy, they were taking advantage of God's children and making themselves rich at God's children's expense. Now, there are other ways that Satan uses religion as an enemy of God besides indoctrinating preachers and pastors with false doctrine. Satan influences the establishment of cults. A cult is a religious organization whose beliefs are inconsistent with the basic tenets of the Christian faith. In a cult, power and authority and control are exercised in the group, and techniques of manipulation and mind control are used. For example, Mormons contend that they are the only true church and that all those outside Mormonism are following a deficient gospel and a false Christ. They have their own Bible called the Book of Mormon. They believe that God has not always held the position of the supreme being of the universe that he holds now, that he attained his position through righteous living. Mormons believe that Jesus and Satan were spirit brothers before the spirit of Jesus was given a body by Mary of Bethlehem. Now, another cult, the Jehovah's Witness, deny the essentials of the Christian faith and exercise control over the membership. They believe that God alone is Jehovah and that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Therefore, they deny the Trinity. The Church of the Scientology professes a do-it-yourself salvation and seeks to destroy through lawsuits and character assassination that anyone who speaks out against the group. The black Muslims, or Nation of Islam, deny that the God of creation exists today and that there is no life beyond the grave. Now they teach that all black men are gods and all white men are devils, and that Jesus was merely a prophet. The United Pentecostal Church denies the Trinity and teaches that to be saved, one must be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Now I'm telling you now, brothers and sisters, these cults and others like them are enemies of God and God's children. They profess beliefs that are contrary to the Bible. They indoctrinate and manipulate and control their members. We are to be able to recognize cults like we are to recognize other enemies of God so that we can avoid them. We are living in troubling times, no doubt. The enemies of God are pressing from every side. They are in our government, our entertainment and music industries, all aspects of our society, and especially active in the destruction of the family and in our religious organizations and our churches. The Apostle Paul warned God's children in Colossians 2 and 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." The Apostle Peter also warns God's children in 2 Peter 3 and 17, "Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now Jesus' warning to the disciples to beware the scribes and Pharisees is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. God's enemies are all around us, overturning God's laws, promoting lust of the flesh, and abominations like homosexuality and abortion, and robbing God of His glory in our churches by lifting man up and demoting God to a position of wait and see if man will accept His offer of salvation. Now, brothers and sisters, the only thing that will turn this country around is the truth. We must stop the deceit and lies in the media, our government, and our churches. We must proclaim that God is God, and He's still on His throne, and He's still in control. We must flee youthful lust, repent of our transgressions, and pursue righteousness and holiness. I pray that you will be inspired to spend more time studying God's Word and being obedient to His commandments. And may the Lord bless you this week, and we hope you'll join us again next week to study His Word.